The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
More than 376,000 Palestinians have returned to northern Gaza since Monday, greeted by scenes of complete devastation with buildings in ruins. Palestinians have to come to terms with the rubble of the past 15 months, what is left of their homes, what is left of their families. Joining me now, Jonathan Crix, Chief of Communication at UNICEF for the State of Palestine. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you, first of all, give us some description of what these unfortunate people are finding?
Well, I was among those thousands and thousands of families and children 2 days ago when they were walking up north. And what was really striking to me was the fact that they were really walking with all they could carry, you know, a few plastic bags, you know, overpacked, backpacked. It was really, really, I would say, you could see that the children were tired and scared. I was asking them, why are you going back in the north while most probably your house has been destroyed, or damaged? And they were answering, we prefer to have a tent on the rubble of our house than elsewhere. They were very attached to their land. And the situation in the north is, I was there a few months ago. I haven't been there this week yet, but the situation in the north is very striking because you have entire neighborhoods which have been flattened. You have no services. You don't have water. You have a limited amount of food. So clearly it's a challenge. I think that this is really a strong indicator, and we already started ramping up our efforts as humanitarian actors to provide essential supplies, humanitarian aid to the people who are moving north this week.
Now, is there any sense of government? I mean, when you look at the scenes of devastation in northern Gaza, I mean, literally, you know, towns, cities flattened. And you're wondering, how can anything work? How can mobile phones work? How can water supplies be delivered? How can there be electricity in such devastation?
So that's really very much the case for months now. There is no electricity apart from what is produced by generators. But people in the tents, they don't have electricity. There is no water sanitation. There is no water. The water is distributed either by water trucks or by donkeys pulling plastic cisterns. It's been the case, and it's very much the case in the north. There is no waste management. You have huge piles of garbage which has accumulated with rodents in it, and children digging in. I've seen children digging in those big pile of garbage, and you know the ceasefire is extremely important. Finally, it allows humanitarian aid to enter at scale in the Gaza Strip, and it allows the release of the hostages, and all of them must be released and reunited with their families. But the ceasefire in itself is not improving the life of every child better overnight in the Gaza Strip. There are a huge amount of efforts that needs to be done in the coming months, and probably, unfortunately, in the coming years to get back to some normal life in Gaza.
It does seem as if many of the people were fearful that what has unfolded in 2024 and now in 2025 was, if you like, another Nakba for the Palestinian people, that they were being moved from their lands in northern Gaza and they would never, ever be allowed to return. And that explains some of the joy that people seem to demonstrate, even though there's nothing about the environment that they're returning to that is to be joyful about.
Yes, I think that clearly the families that I met with and that I talked to, they're very, very much, including the colleagues we are working with. Many of my colleagues here are originally from Gaza City, from the north, and they are very attached to their land, to their house. Some of them have still a house which only has been partly damaged, and you know there are really high hopes that they can resume after 15 months of intense bombardment, that they can resume, I would say, something close to a normal life. But once again, the scale of the needs is immense in the Gaza Strip today.
Now, the question of finding the resources to allow people to live, you know, whether it's food, water, sanitation, ultimately electricity and so on, who is controlling all of those resources at the moment? I mean, we don't know what state the original government of Hamas is in now.
Well, it's something that we, for us, it's very much in the current environment difficult for UNICEF to confirm who's controlling what. I mean, we're not political or military experts. You know, what we're doing is we're talking with everyone at the technical level, like we have been doing from the very first day of this war, because we have one objective. Our objective is to bring relief, to bring humanitarian aid to children who are hungry, who are thirsty, and who are cold. And that is what we are doing. And, you know, this population movement is also something which is very, you know, challenging for us, because we have in a couple of days, we have 200, 300, 400,000 people maybe who are moving from one area to another one, and we are following them. And this is not something new for us as humanitarian workers. You know, when this war started, those people have been displaced 5, 6, 7 times to Rafah, to the south of the Gaza Strip, then to the middle area. And every time UNICEF and all the humanitarian workers, what did we do? We followed and we tried to provide as much relief and as much support to the children in need, wherever they are and wherever they were.
And of course, children have some children missing limbs, but all children missing school.
That's you know, it's really, really awful. So first of all, we have to realize that the hospitals, the health system is still largely on its knees. We have, I think, 16 or 17 out of 35 hospitals which are only partially functioning. So they are still lacking things like anesthetics. They are still, and we are ramping up the efforts there too. You know, it's important to bring in these supplies. It's also important, one of our priority as UNICEF is also to reestablish some form of routine immunization for those children. You know, basic vaccination against measles, against polio, all those, that vaccination that is for every child in the world, which should be routine and compulsory. Many, many children didn't get any of this in the past 15 months. And then, of course, for education, it's more than 650,000 children who didn't attend proper schooling for the past 15 months. It's a huge learning gap. And the efforts to fill that gap are going to be needed in the coming months and years. But what is absolutely critical is for that ceasefire to last. It is not possible to rebuild the health system or the education system if we don't have a ceasefire which is here for good, paving the way for a lasting and just solution for every child in the region.
Jonathan Crix, Chief of Communications at UNICEF of the State of Palestine. Thank you very much for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.